our work session. It is Tuesday, March 19th at 6:06 p.m. and we're meeting in the Cedar Hills Community Center. We are going to have our open public meeting training today when Joel gets here, but I will start with basically items on the agenda. Which we don't need to really have to, so.
We're going to have two, and I used to know a lot to say about Chamber of Commerce, so I'm not going to talk.
I'm going to talk about that briefly. Well, so Josh Walker, who is the executive director for Americorps Chamber of Commerce, he's actually going to be here today to discuss. They would like the city to join, and they would like the businesses here, the three jumps that have joined as well. The Charleston already belongs to that, to the Chamber of Commerce. So we'll go over that today. It's a discussion item only, but I'll let you know that Lehigh Chamber of Commerce has recently rebranded to the Point of the Mountain Chamber of Commerce and are incorporating quite a few cities. And so I met with them yesterday, and they are also very interested, and they actually have slightly different options and pricing. So he's going to come to our April 16th meeting to present to us as well. So tonight will just be informational, and then we'll hear from them, and then we can discuss if we want to move forward with either one of them or neither of them, or keep talking. So.
I saw that there was a golf tournament.
Actually, well, yeah, and one of the things I talked to both of them about is because I guess they get a corporate pass to the golf course, and they offer it to all of their members. And so one of the things I talked to both of them is adding the Cedar Hills golf course to their corporate membership, so that way we can get more people here as well. So
who is that?
Both open to that. The Chambers. Yeah, they're both open to that.
So that'll be an interesting discussion. So I want to talk about, I think the main point of my presentation tonight is going to be around the Taco Bell and the storage facility. So let's start with Taco Bell. Actually, I'm going to go to the site plan first. Is just a little bit further north. Taco Bell here, you can see that you'd access it from North Pine Boulevard, and as this heads east, there's an intersection. There's an intersection right. I'll show you. Right here, that would be 4700 West. That would head north, where you can see your canyon, and then you can access Cedar Hills Drive. So there would be two access points for this Taco Bell. The Planning Commission looked at this, and their concern was you have, and it's kind of hard to see, but the drive-through window is right here for reference. And as you have, as the cart order and then queue up for to receive their orders and pay, you can see that there's the potential for a line of cars to start backing up. And if there's not a solution, then they start backing up around here. Now, there'd have to be a sale on burritos or something, I don't know. But you could see something like that at Joel's here. So I'm going to turn the time over to Joel, because his is more important. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I'd like to tell you that
when you have burritos.
Yeah.
So we'll revisit this.
Joel, do you need to plug into the computer?
No. Since I found out I'm the one on the flip of it, doesn't get done. I'm very interested.
Yeah, that's good.
I got to think about this training and I feel like this is the same audience I was going to be with. And I thought, I need some plans for presentation. You guys will all just go to sleep, so this is gonna be more like school. Kind of like even law school, but we're just gonna, talk about this kind of stuff. And you are in law stuff. And see what you all think.
Thank you.
You can cover all the main things.
This is fun stuff, so we're not really.
It's a quiz.
Yeah.
Looks like a high school quiz.
This is the real basics. Utah has something called the Public Meeting Act. Very similar, many other states have one. California has one that's even more aggressive. Has been litigated. I think it keeps at least 1,000 attorneys employed. They have so much litigation over there. They're so excited about their Public Meetings Act in California. But in short, I think it's worth reading this quote. It's the only thing I'll quote to you. Recognize that governing bodies exist to conduct the people's business and contain provisions designed to help ensure that, that entities' actions and deliberations are conducted openly. And that's kind of the key word. Actions and deliberations are conducted openly. And I have worked with many of you and seen you, and you represented me for a while. And I how can I put this? How am I putting this in a non-religious way? I feel like all of you have an actual testimony of the Open Meeting Act. And I think that's really, really good. I'm gonna step just briefly out of my role as an attorney. If you believe in the Open Meeting Act, you almost never have a problem with it. It will keep you safe. It will keep you on the line. When you are tempted to violate the Open Meeting Act, I can almost tell you, you are going off course, almost unconditionally. It is not just good for the public, it is good for the public servants. It will keep you more effective, and it will keep you happier. And it will get you reelected if you are brave enough to win some of the most losing, unhappy battles I have seen are people who get in long meetings over the Open Meeting Act that are silly. Really, here's the thing. You can be even more open than required in the law at times, too. Sometimes you can be closed. Sometimes you can be things, but you can be open if you want to. And it's hard, because sometimes it's great. And, you know, sometimes that's why you have me. And you can, this is where I earn my keep. If you're not sure, you can ask me. We can give a legal opinion, and you can say you rely on that. And that's, to some extent, kind of a get out of jail free, to a large extent. Okay, so we're gonna talk about kind of the five key points. And I'm going to ask questions, and so it can be a little bit. So, you guys can give your opinions, because I would be surprised if several of you have strong opinions on this. So, what kind of meetings does it apply to?
Any meeting where there's a quorum in the expense.
City meetings. Does it apply to city council, of course?
Yes.
Does it apply to planning commission?
Yes.
Yes. What about the golf course advisory committee? What about family festival committee?
Yes.
What if the mayor appoints one or two council members to serve on a citizens committee that's looking at metering water?
One or two, no.
Well, on a committee, though?
Oh.
Committees are up. You mean just the two of them or the resident committee?
With a bunch of residents.
Yeah.
Yes.
What if this actually happened years ago, not so long ago, actually, 12. There are three council members in one LDS ward. And they're all.
One of you has to be inactive.
I'm taking any deliberations or actions. They all go to the same gospel doctrine class.
Well,
why is
they're not talking city business. Because, well, even talking city business, purpose is you can't convene to deliberate or discuss city business with the intent of making decisions or spending public funds.
But what if they were coming up with a plan?
So if they all went into the nursery, if they all went into the nursery and huddled the three of them together and discuss city business.
Yeah.
that would be.
Now, even if they was a happenstance, they just met at Walmart, they just met at church, if they started deliberating, that could go there. If they even said, you know, hey, we're voting on metering water at the next meeting, I'm voting for it, you voted for it, yeah, I'm gonna vote for it. How can we get the other votes? That's, especially with three of you, that probably could theoretically compromise. And that's where I'm saying, could you probably get away with it? Maybe, yeah. But that's just not good. And one thing, I mean, like you look at our Utah County Commission, I use them as an example, they only have three. So anytime two of them talk, it's exactly like three city council members. And also, to some extent, like in our Utah legislature, I mean, in the Senate they have to have 15, and in the House they have to have 37 or 38. So, I mean, yeah, how many times do they all get together? It's just not hard for the Utah legislature. Now, it's very hard for our county commissioners, it's not possible. You know, it's harder for our city council. So any other thing the mayor kind of said, you're using public funds or property, and it ultimately feeds up to the city council. I think it needs to be a public meeting, it needs to be noticed. And that's one thing where I think you want to err on the line of safety. Okay, B. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. What is the line between receiving information and deliberation?
I would say deliberation is when you're having a discussion back and forth on the merits of the information and how you're to influence how you're going to vote. And come to a decision on.
Was this law made before or after email? Before.
We had that.
Email is designed to break this law. And it's so easy. I mean, for example, one city council member sees, or even a staff member, or even a citizen, a resident, will send you this article about how Lehigh is going to hire these new German engineers to do a really cool water metering, you know, for all their pressurized irrigation. Someone says, you know, this is really cool. Has someone ever talked to these German engineers? And someone says, no, that seems like a really good idea. And if then they say, yeah, we have to put it on the agenda. Well, let's ask the mayor or put it on the agenda. That's kosher. But then if a third person says, you know, well, I would vote for it. I mean, if it's half as good as Lehigh, whenever you use the word vote, you're, especially in email, you aren't asking for it. Just never use the word, I'm going to vote, I would vote, she should vote, how can we get the vote?
I will approve that.
Yes.
Can you differentiate between emailing the entire council or commission or committee on saying, I would vote this way versus I'm not going to be at the meeting, here's how I would vote, and sending that to the chair or the mayor?
I think that's not actually very hard. I think when you say this is how I vote and I won't be at the meeting, I think you are deliberating clearly. You've crossed that line. Deliberation is leading to the vote.
Well, what if you do that? I guess maybe it wasn't very clear my question. To me, there's a difference between sending that I'm going to be missing this meeting and sending that I would vote this way to the mayor, please read this into the minutes, versus okay. I'm going to send this to the entire council.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
I'm okay with the former. Yeah. If you just send it to the mayor, say this is how I would vote, like to share that, because I'm going to be in briefs and not have cell phones.
However, that's my question. Does the vote count? You're not there.
No. That is
very
established.
But if they are on the conference call, which we've done before, and they vote,
that counts.
That does count. Correct.
So I have a question on that. I know that the courts are still figuring out how email relates to open board meetings and record laws and everything. But my understanding is that they basically have down to say these laws aren't to prevent or impede communication between council members, all of the council members via email. So if you're having a discussion via email, it's subject to grammar, of course, but it's not prohibited as long as you're not meeting any.
Correct.
Not that you shouldn't err on the side.
I have seen, especially if you get into multiple replies, even if you don't think you are, others could think you're deliberating, especially if they file a grammar request, especially if it gets into multiple things. I know it's so hard. And the line between sharing information and deliberating is sometimes not enviable. And I mean, if you have multiple conversations on sponsor of the, you know, baking contest at Family Festival, probably no one's going to get to work on it. But on other issues, you know, like a potential property tax increase or something more heavy, yeah, that would clearly.
What about administrative issues that aren't going to come before the council? So, for instance, and this is not something that was sent out, but just as an example, we're working on Harvey Park, and we have to decide, do we want a blue slide or a red slide? Everybody, please just let us know what you want. That's not going to come to the council, but we want feedback.
I think it's important how you ask it. Say, hey, we have this option, and we go to the blue slide or red slide. If you're interested in sharing, please let me know. Instead of saying, I need everybody to tell me, because I could probably legally defend that, I need everyone to tell me, but you're just gonna, you're kicking the sleeping dog. The press or the resident, they find that, they're gonna make accusations. Especially if they think they're really looking for something, and that's what they'll find. So that's how I would say it.
Good questions.
Anything with money or budgeting is probably deliberation. This next one is public hearing versus public meeting. And I Colleen has done such a good job on this. Could you tell us the difference between a public hearing and public meeting? Because I think you're going to explain it better than I am.
Sorry, you got to speak into a mic.
That's okay. Can you hear me? Wow, put me on the spot. Well, no, but a public hearing usually occurs when it's in the code, like mostly Title 10, which deals with land use. It's very specific in the code that you need to have a public hearing. Public hearing for budgeting is very specific in the code, how many days you have to notice it ahead of time. Land use, you have to send out the notice to the surrounding affected areas. So there's a lot of things in the code that define what public hearing has to be for. Public meeting is just like what we're doing now. When you have governmental entity, which is us, public body, which is our mayor and council, gathering with more than a quorum, that's public meeting when you're going to discuss city business.
So this may, I think it's not too aggressive to say, a public hearing is always a public meeting, but a public meeting is not always a public hearing. So a public hearing is kind of a more specific define. It requires earlier notice. It's something more heavy, kind of, than the color of the slide in the park. They want, you know, make darn sure the residents know about it and have a chance to give it. So our tax and fees and the wild land use things require that. Colleen has done a very good job on that. I've been impressed. D is possibly been the most contentious of all. To make people the most bad. When can you go into closed session? I mean, I could have written down, you know, all the reasons, and you just come in 1 year now. So we're just gonna talk to them and just throw them out there. What are the reasons you can go into closed session?
Yeah. Discuss competency of an employee or elected official, I think.
That's the number one that you asked. However, if there's a vacancy on the city council, can you go into closed session to discuss the character and competence of the candidates for the people who apply to city council?
No.
No, you have to discuss it in public.
We should explore that once we meet the planning commission as well.
Key observation. This is something we don't have to worry much about. We have security personnel deployment. I guess it could be. I mean, we've had several conversations about more break-ins in certain areas, and if we wanted to really target police in the area, I think it'd be reasonable to go for a closed session. Talk about we want more police patrol in this area chasing people. Even though I highly doubt people who are breaking in cars in certain neighborhoods, listening to city council meetings, repeating issues.
But I think even talking about like our IT and security for buildings and all of that.
Yeah. Collective bargaining. It's not even an issue to deal with. The Valentine School issue, that's a big deal. Three more. Anyone think of any?
Before I say litigation.
Criminal misconduct.
Litigation, criminal investigation. This last one I think is possibly the weakest. So most of private trade secrets gained through procurement. That's pretty dicey, I think.
Probably not something that we would ever deal with.
Now here's something interesting. How many votes do you need to go into closed session?
Only a majority of those present.
That's not where I bet it's two-thirds vote.
Is it two-thirds of those present?
And I was somewhat surprised, yeah.
I know there was one time where we only had a quorum present and we went to an exec session even with a 2-1 vote, because Dave Shaw said that met the
two-thirds.
Yeah, so
that's two-thirds. So if you have three, you need two votes. If you have four, you need three votes.
Two and the mayor, so the mayor's gonna vote. Break a tie. If it's 2-2, right?
If it's 2-2, she can break the vote, right?
But if it's 2-2 and she breaks the tie, that's 60%. That's not enough.
Oh, then you're right.
That's a lot of closed session. So if you have four, you need three votes. If you have five, you also need four votes.
Yeah.
So that is maybe where I got it. This is small value. I read that and I was keenly curious, and so I read deeper into that. But yeah. You're supposed to have two-thirds vote to go into closed session. I've seen this sometimes. There was some frustration at one point over the golf course, and the council would go into closed session every time to discuss the golf course, and one or two council members got frustrated. We should discuss it. We can discuss it in closed session, but I don't want to. And I think that day they prevailed, and so I've got to discuss the public. So some things you can, but you don't have to. Now some things, like if you're discussing character or competence of employee, you might be asking for litigation. You discuss in public, you don't have to. And this is our, can you take an action in a closed meeting? You can say, I'm ready to vote, and usually, you know, people give an indication. I think it's dangerous sometimes to maybe say, well, do we have enough votes to go out of closed session? The judgment is something contentious. If I asking for trouble. Last one is penalties. What are the penalties for violating members of the public meeting tonight?
Fine. It's not jail time, but
it's class B misdemeanor.
Class B?
If you deliberately, knowingly violate the Open Meeting Act, it's a class B misdemeanor. Has that been prosecuted or convicted? I'm not aware of any. Theoretically, it could. So I think they want to put a little bit of fear in everyone. That is, especially if you are engaging in good faith efforts to comply with it, I've never seen even the Attorney General bring charges.
So who would they charge that with? Everyone who went to the meeting? for, and how they decide who's going to get that. Just as a member of a public body, you know, I mean, we violate, so everyone in that meeting, if you know me, violated it. So if I get let in, I don't know what I'm doing.
That's an interesting thing. Yeah, we all work for you, and we better do a good job. But yeah, ultimately, you all are responsible. And that's why you should not hesitate to ask me. And if I don't know, I'll tell you. And we'll try and research it out. Given the maturity and experience of this group, if you're asking me, it's probably already great. I'm gonna say that. It's not entirely clear. I would encourage you, if you're going to err on the side of being more open. You know, I think that's rarely where you go wrong. Now, sometimes things are sensitive and they're in process, and you can make more argument, but it's better to err on being open. But let me say, if you think you violated the Open Meeting Act, approve it at the next council meeting. And that cleanses it and sanitizes it. It for sure doesn't. So if there's any doubt, any personal challenge, well, you didn't have an adequate public hearing, I didn't get adequate notice, now you're putting this road on my property or by it, increasing the traffic. You know, if there's any question, we can review it, and if we're not sure, you can do it again. My goal is certainly to, I'm sure Chandler's and everyone's, you don't have to do that. But things are messy sometimes, and that's okay to be messy a little bit, because you just can't anticipate everything. If they can bring a lawsuit, and if they bring a lawsuit and violate the feedback, the judge can vote void the action, and they can be awarded legal fees for it. So that's one thing. I mean, it's kind of funny, if any action were ever challenged in some ways, unless it was rather draconian, if I looked at it and I saw any merit, I'd probably say, let's just throw on the agenda and do it again. You know, why pay the money to fight this lawsuit? You know, let's just, and that's really kind of good, you know? If it's not, let's do it again and make darn sure it's right. That's it. Thank you for paying attention. But thank you. Any questions? Or
I'm just going to add to the support, right, since I know we're recording, in case this question comes up. I know in the past there have been some who have said things like, if you know, three council members are at Walmart, one of them has to leave. But that's not the case. Or you can't all go to ULCC conferences together. Not the case. You can go to Family Festival and you can go to dinner together and you're just doing it as a social thing. None of those things are violating the Open Act. So just three council members together, hanging out at the park with their families, none of them off that.
Absolutely. And that's important. Perception becomes reality. Sometimes until they see three people talking together, some people will assume the worst. Always. And so you have to make that judgment. It's even worth it. Legal, I'm going to tell you, it's absolutely, you can't. But like when we had three city council members in the same ward, I can't tell you how much money we've gotten on that. I think two of them were didn't run from the election on the cycle. So, yeah.
Brian
is
my
word,
right?
But I just don't want anyone to think that you can't go to, like I said, trainings together or whatever the case is, because those things are important. And so we don't want anyone to feel like you can't go to a board.
And so if we want something on the agenda, let's say I have this idea and I email everybody and say, hey, what do you think? Is this something that, you know, you want to see on the agenda? That's okay. Have a discussion like that.
Yeah, because we don't have a hard, fast rule, but generally, if two council members will agree,
that is the hard, fast rule.
The hard, fast rule by law is two council members. You can ask the mayor, and if the mayor wants, then two council members say yes.
That's in the council procedures.
That's a hard, fast rule.
We have council procedures, yeah.
Well, I don't care. I mean, if you want to, I don't care. Yeah, if you ask me, though, I can just put it on the agenda. But if I said no for some reason, then you could. But if you want to just email the council, that's fine with me too. I don't know.
That's the finest line.
But two council members get to overrule the mayor on that, on an agenda.
But Jenny and you.
That information versus deliberation. Did you say, you know, saying, hey, look what Springville City did. And I think there's a lot of cool merit. Another council member said, oh yeah, I'd love to see that.
Excuse me, if you want to come and paper your room, that'd be okay.
Wow, how come they come in so clear?
That's totally fine. Recorded if you get into extensive discussion on the merits of something,
yeah.
Then you're liberated.
Right.
So I would do a two-fold test. One is, do you think you are? And the second one, if you really want to play safe, is how would the most critical residents of Cedar Hills or critical press members view this conversation if it were not making open? Because email is so perfectly designed to grab on.
Yeah.
So, you guys really
good. Thanks for doing that. Thank you.
Does that line up with a future parking lot of some sort?
Yeah, it will.
It will.
You can see that they've got two parking stalls here and three here, so there will be future
parking stalls
down this way. So you are, if you look at the overall site plan, there's another road that comes into the south here, a main road there, heading east-west. And we want those buildings that are facing that road there, not this north.
One of the things you might want to recommend to them, because it has a roof that fits, and I only know this with my child over, so I do look at this all the time. They installed a sign, and it's not a huge sign, kind of where those two parking stalls are, that just said drive through, and it has an arrow, so people knew to go up and around.
Oh, yeah.
So if you go there, it shows they kind of wrap around.
So you have drive through signs that basically. It's, force you to drive around this way.
It doesn't force them. It's just a sign. It's not very big with an arrow just saying drive through, so people know not to turn there but to go up and around. And it has resolved the issue, but it's not painted on the cement grading. I can take a picture if you want to.
No, I think you could do that. You just have to talk with the logo and says it's a drive-through.
Something like that. And so, and everyone gets work there. Everyone knows just to go up and around.
They'll be here tonight.
Okay.
But eventually, there's going to be parking stalls all along that strip of asphalt, and then it's going to block people in their parking spaces.
In theory,
that's a lot.
That's 20 cars are queued up for Taco Bell. It's unlikely.
It's only going to be at.
That's a generally happen at Taco Bell.
I went over and looked at the Taco Bell. The shape of the building here is pretty standard for a Taco Bell. We've seen their new designs. There's one on State Street in Pleasant Grove, Linden. And then there's another one in Warren on State Street, Taco Bell, yeah, they're over in Costco. So this is kind of their new style of building. And it fits onto the site nicely. But I went over to the Warren one on Center Street, and that one has, we were told that was the busiest Taco Bell in the area. And you have 7 cars queued up through the drive-through, but I don't see this one generating the traffic. I don't see this one becoming the new busiest Taco Bell. I think initially you probably have some excitement, some demand, having a lot of cars there, but I think that'll taper off over time.
If you look at McDonald's during old peak lunch hour, it's backed up and they've got 2 lanes.
Yeah.
So which one?
McDonald's.
Yeah.
But it's again, it's.
You've got like 45 minutes. I would know there if that's the case. The other concern the Planning Commission had was initially, you can see that you have this drive-through aisle here and you have lane traffic here, and this barrier between them was fairly narrow. I want to say it was probably about less than 2 feet. And they had them widen that, so now the distance here between the curb, top curb, top back curb, top back curb is about 4 feet. I see what they're planning on. Doing some plantings there, kind of create a little bit more barrier.
Which side's taller, the inside curb or the curb on the street?
I believe the inside curb on the street.
Wait, is that?
So it drops down.
That would be my guess, and I have to check. And this is where I say it's a tight.
It's right on the edge.
This is a really tight site. There's not a lot of flexibility. So the drive aisle here is required width. The parking lot, the parking stalls, they're required depth. ADA is a requirement here. So your drive-through aisle is also standard width. So really, the only play you have in designing a building and fitting it on is the actual width of your building. As you can see, it's not a very wide building, it's a very long building. And you have the flexibility on here. You know, Taco Bell has their standard equipment that they're going to say has to go into their store. So, and if this is the typical size of the store, you're left with not a lot of space there to play with. So.
There's only a sidewalk on one side, right?
There's a sidewalk on one side. So you'll be a sidewalk on this side, and then as it comes across here, there'll be another sidewalk. But there will be a sidewalk. So if you're walking to this from the top of from high school, there's not a sidewalk on this because that lane's not there. But you can walk down here on here. So so far, look at an aerial of, which I can show you. The McDonald's is a good example of that we don't have. You don't have a sidewalk on both sides, which still allows pedestrian activity to access the site. But like I said, as you get south, parts there, kids walk to Taco Bell, there is a not sidewalk, this portion of the road. Eventually there will be, but not immediately. You can see the cutout here, Taco Bell's going to sit on the site.
Don't they only have a half an hour for lunch?
Well, yeah. 5 minutes.
45 minutes. Well, then it's time to walk.
If I know high school kids, they'll use the diagonal crosswalk this way.
Maybe for McDonald's parking lot.
Yeah.
I think most of them actually do pause at the red flashing light just because it's the best.
There's just a lot of them.
But I would imagine most people going to Taco Bell are probably going to drive just because of the distance.
It's a good walk. Let's, before we close, let me give you just 1 second to talk about the storage facility. This is an older rendering. You can see, I'll show you the older rendering. On the older rendering, you have a building, and then you had a drive out that went all the way around the building, right? The newer rendering, made that landscape to kind of shield it and make it look a little bit, the planting show, there's going to be a lot of trees, bushes, rocks. See how the landscape, it kind of gives it a nicer look. Additional landscaping back here and on the sides, and you can still drive through the whole thing, drive around the whole thing. It's just a, it limits the asphalt, limits the it, I think it creates a better view shed for this building. Their parking is very limited. It's a storage facility, doesn't require. Most people that come to the facility, they're going to have a manager that's going to park here, and then if you're unloading, loading, you're probably parking, parallel parking somewhere along this road. So that's the storage facility. And both of the developers for both of these sites are going to be here tonight. Just as a matter of for your sake, when we're doing any motions, it's the same development, it's the same developer, so there's one memo. But on your memo in the motion, there's two separate motions, one for the Taco Bell and one for the storage facility.
Since this is preliminary, this is what they're planning. There won't be significant change from this.
Not significant change from that. There is, so you see on that one, the only change, significant change, I would say, from the original, from this rendering to what's being proposed, is that you see the step up between the doors here. That's actually great.
And the doors are going to match.
Yeah, the doors would have to match. The color of the doors would have to match. The doors are great. Yeah. And that's a pretty high level discussion on this building. But we'll get more in depth in the next meeting. It's going to break. Any questions, though, right now? You can wait.
Okay. All right. I will take a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Adjourn. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Councilor Ashton. All those in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned for 12 minutes.